Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions on the entire Japanese wrestling scene, from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Marigold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network today.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, and I'm joined this time by Damon McDonald. Same as always. It's Tuesday, 26th of August, 2025. This is episode 376. Damon, are you well?
Yep. We are smooth as silk. Physically, well, I mean, I don't have a cold or anything or any kind of disease pouring through me that I'm aware of. But yes, I think we're good. We're good. We're really good. Really good. Better than it should be. Well, that's not true. I'm good. Why am I rambling on like a fucking maniac right now? Please take over. Please start talking now so I can stop.
I have been playing a video game.
Which one's that?
Doom, the 2016 version.
Oh.
Are you familiar with Doom?
Yes, I am. It was one of the first computer games. Not non-console games that I remember playing. Yes.
So good.
Yeah.
It's someone described the gameplay of it as being like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, which sounds weird for a first-person shooter map where you're killing demons, but it's exactly like that because you're sort of like cruising around the sort of makeshift arena, blasting away at the monsters and ripping them apart with your hands and switching between different weapons. And it's like you are the hunter rather than the hunted. It's incredibly fun and satisfying and very, very metal. It's not the sort of game that I would usually play. I'm not really a first-person shooter kind of guy. My favorite first-person shooter is Duke Nukem 3D, which was about, 30 years ago. Yeah. But I'm having a blast with Doom 2016.
Doom, like I said, it was like the first computer game I remember playing. And there was always a rumor that like, and I don't know, if, like I'm not going that deep into it, but there was always a rumor that like Nine Inch Nails did a soundtrack for them. Maybe I'm thinking I'm wrong. Right. Yeah, it was so fun. And at the time, you know, graphics being what they are now, it doesn't compare, but like at the time it was just like pretty fucking gory. It was kind of like Mortal Kombat when you played that and you're just, and the first time you rip somebody's fucking head out and you're holding their skull and you're just like, fucking holy shit. You know, it has that element of you're blasting somebody right in these monsters right in the fucking face. It's great. So good. Yeah. Did you ever download
and so popular people went to great lengths to try to emulate Doom running on some absurd devices, people getting it running on calculators, ATMs, fridges, microwaves, even the printers. Apparently someone managed to get Doom running on a printer. I don't know how that works. There's a great book about it called Masters of Doom by David Kushner about the production behind the games. Really interesting people involved in that. Was it John Romero, I think? John Romero and John Carmack, the two guys who were...
I think you're thinking of John Carroll and Rocky Romero, I think is what you're thinking of. No? No. Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good book. So, I mean, even if you don't have to be like a Doom super fan to enjoy it, it's just like a very interesting insight into what it was like, the kind of sort of rock and roll aura of games development back in the day. But yeah, really good stuff.
I'm going to say there were drugs involved. Do you think there was any cocaine involved?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of drugs and long hair.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that brings back good memories, actually. That's a fun stuff. Have you ever, I got two questions. One, have you ever downloaded that, what was it, that Warhammer game that I told you about, where you fucking just maul these lizard-like alien things? So good.
Nice.
So fun. Good. Yep. And then the second question I have is, you might not be old enough, though. Have you been a part of, or have you participated in a LAN party?
No.
Okay. So you would hook up your computer. This is before like laptops became somewhat reasonably priced, and you would hook up all these computers to like just one local network, and you would play Doom or you would play whatever. And you would stay up all night doing things to help you stay up, whatever that choice of stimulant was, and you just literally played video game on the clock.
Lots of Coca-Cola.
Yeah. If you imbibe it through your nose. Yeah. They were. I just remember those. I wonder if any of our listeners ever been to a LAN party. I doubt it. I'm old as fuck. All right. Where would you like to go, sir? Where would you like to take us?
I just want to talk to Al Morian in the chat. Oh. He's throwing some interesting questions. Does Arsenal look great this weekend? Yes, we did. Absolutely destroyed Leeds United 5-0. Our new superstar striker, Victor Gyökeres, was off the mark. Got two goals there. And he does this famous celebration where he does his hands making like the Bane mask from Batman. And I know a lot of rival fans were desperate for him to be a flop, but no, unfortunately, he's brilliant. So, you're out of luck. He's the kind of player and the kind of character that we've not had since like the 90s. So he's basically just single-mindedly driven. He's a goal machine.
Nice.
He's like a
sniper.
Sort of. I imagine him, like his psyche, to be sort of like a Patrick Bateman style sort of psychopath goal pervert, where in his free time he likes to sit in his apartment, sits on a big leather sofa, completely naked, staring at a goal, like a full-size goal in his home. He's probably wearing like a mask made out of a football skin or something. Maybe likes to invite Sunday League defenders around to his house and murder them on weekends, things like that. Just the guy who'd sort of step over his own mother to score a goal. Love it. And I love that. We need players like that.
Yes, you do. Again, for all the defense and all the conservative play, it is nice when you get that one. And again, I'll ask, is he a defensive liability? Like, if he's on the field, are you worried that he's going to get smoked? And
no,
okay.
No, don't care. It's not what he's there for. He's there to score goals.
Nice.
And we had an exciting moment because we brought on one of our academy players, this guy called Max Dowman, who 15 years old. He's already incredible. Like, he's going to be massive. Okay. He was just like tormenting the Leeds defense, just like absolutely skinning their left back, dribbling past him. And he got fouled in the box and won a penalty. So I was like, wow, you know, this 15-year-old's won a penalty. And, you know, potentially, if they'd given him the penalty, he could have been the youngest ever Premier League goal scorer.
Wait, time. The dude's 15 and he's playing 15. In the fucking the big show?
Premier League, yeah. Uh-huh.
What the fuck? How's that legal?
Well, there are some things that are not legal. Like, I don't think he's allowed to get changed in the same dressing room as the
the adult players. Wow. And he'll be going back to school in December, I imagine. So, yeah.
Holy shit. 15 and he's playing with, like I said, up in the show? Wow. Yep. Holy, yeah. Yeah, and he's only going to get bigger and put on size and, wow, 15 and he's smoking people already.
Yeah. So he won a penalty. And there was a little part of me, and you know, a few people wondering, oh, you know, are they going to give the penalty to Max Down? Are you going to let the 15-year-old take this penalty kick and be like the youngest goal scorer in Premier League history? But no, Victor Gyökeres is having none of that. He's just like, yep, I'll have that ball. Thank you very much. That's mine. Everyone else, fuck off.
Well, he'll earn those stripes. He'll be there one day. But that, oh, wow. All right. So if I watch this, they play this weekend.
Yeah, we've got a massive match. We've got Liverpool away.
That's right. I did hear that. Yeah. Is that on Sunday or Saturday?
That's a great question. I will have to check.
I think it's Sunday because... Sunday. Yeah, because I was on like some like the Reddit Oasis board and somebody was like, is there any places in New York that are going to have this game? And I was like, well, I never responded. I never posted on Reddit in my fucking life. I have, but like a million years ago. Yeah, so that's what remind. Yeah, I did know that was a massive. All right, I got to figure out that because I would like to see that. Maybe, would it be? See, here's what we do better than you do over there. So, again, you have Wembley and you have all the restaurants and all the fucking. We tailgate. We call it tailgating, and you bring the car, and you bring the fucking grill, and you. And sandwiches and food and obviously beer. And it's everybody like working out of their own car, you know? So we do that better than fucking anyone else. Like we got the fucking tailgating shit down. So that's what everybody's like, where can we go for pre-game drinks and blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, dude, MetLife Stadium, you're just in a parking lot. You know, like you can go to Mall of America, but you're drinking in a fucking mall. Yeah, just that's going to be great. So I was thinking about, should I bring a TV specifically for that fucking game? So maybe I will. Maybe now I'll do it. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to power
it. It'll be a really good game.
Yeah, it should be.
I'm very excited about it.
All right.
Because Liverpool are scoring tons of goals, but they can't seem to defend. Mm. We're really good at defending, and I think we're also going to be really good at scoring goals. So I think it's going to be a fascinating match.
Is this a win? And again, defending champions, you're beating here.
Do I think we're going to
win? Yes.
I do. And we've got like three of our best players injured, which is weird. Like Bukayo Saka, Kai Havertz, Martin Odegaard, they're almost certainly going to miss the game. But we've spent so much money this summer and assembled like an incredible squad. Like we've got no weaknesses now. Mm-hmm. I can't spot a single weakness in the squad. Like there's two high quality players to cover for each position. No excuses now. I think our squad strength smokes everyone else in the league. And if we don't get decimated by injuries this season, I think we're going to win the league quite comfortably, to be honest, because it just looks so good on paper. So even with those players missing, like some of the new players we've brought in, I think are going to give Liverpool a lot of trouble. So I think we're going to win.
I love it. Know what I love? I love optimistic Arsenal Joel. That's my favorite Joel. You know, at the beginning of the year, he's like, oh, brimming with confidence. He's like,
we're so back.
We're so back. It can't go wrong. Our fucking roster's deep. And then, oh, we get around when? When do we start the sweating? Like around Thanksgiving, Christmas time? Is that when we start sweating a little bit?
No, it's not happening this year because... seriously, David, this is unprecedented. I've never in my entire history as an Arsenal fan looked at a squad of ours at the start of the season going like, that's perfect.
All right.
We've done everything. We are properly tooled up. There are, because we've always gone into the season like, you know, at least one or two players short where everyone can see it like, if this player gets injured, we're fucked. Right. And that always happens. Like that's always our thing. We get these cluster injuries. You know, one player gets injured in that position and then the replacement gets injured because they're playing too many minutes. It's just a disaster.
All right.
But it's not happening this year.
I got to find a TV. I have the TV. That's not the problem. The problem is how am I going to power it? So might have to go online tonight and look at like power sources, like, you know, the gigantic generator, not gigantic generator, but like those power packs things. I mean,
some lemons you can plug it into.
Lemons? What? Really? Like the acid.
The electrical. Yeah, the power of lemons.
All right, give me a bag of lemons. Done. We'll be rocking and rolling. All right, cool. I think I'm going to make that work. I think I'm going to make that work. You know what I'll do? I'll do the old buy it and then return it right after using it gimmick. Huh. Yes. Yeah, you know that one? I'm good at that one. That's one of my favorites. I'm like, I build like a protective layer around it so it doesn't get any nicks or anything, no nothing. And then whoop, right on back. It didn't work as I planned. And take that fucker right back. All right. This sounds like an idea. This thing is going to be massive. If anybody's going to fucking Oasis at MetLife, come look for us. We'll be doing it right. All right, cool. That's good news from the Arsenal front. What else we got? That's it. Show's over. All right. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
I mean,
why? What's wrong?
Like, obviously, there is Forbidden Door to talk about. And I said that I will do a Patreon show about Forbidden Door. I've not watched it yet, but we've got a couple of people from Discord, Yap and Will, who were there live, and they're going to talk to me about the show. Mm-hmm. And share their thoughts. And I will watch it at some point. But I have not watched it yet.
Okay.
I'm aware of what happened.
Yeah. Okay. I watched a smidge of it. Dan, again, was going to go, and then he had friends that went, and I wound up catching a little bit of it. I mean, it's kind of what you would expect in the sense of these are a lot of the matches felt like they were just matches in a bubble. And not to say that they were bad, but they were, you know, kind of westernized idea of what great pro wrestling is. And Tanahashi's cage match was a whole bunch of nonsense, like a lot of goofiness. And I'm just like, oh, what am I doing? I will say this. And I mean this with all the love in my heart. If you were there and or you paid for that and you enjoyed it and you turned it off and you were like, ah, that was fun. Great. Good on you. Great. Great. Excellent. I will also say that
I hope the brain scans are conclusive. And
yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah. Again, if that's what you enjoy, good for you. It's not for me. That was not for me. All fun aside, that was just like, oh my Lord, what are we doing? And from what it looked like, the people in the arena were digging it, I guess. And yeah, I look, things change. Pro wrestling changes. Everything changes. And maybe I'm the old man yelling at the fucking clouds and get off my lawn and all that bullshit. But I was just like, man, this is just not what I want in my pro wrestling. But good for you guys. Good for everybody. Forbidden Door. Wonderful.
Yeah, I said before we started recording that I was grateful that I didn't go. Not because I thought the show was terrible or anything. It's just not my... Not to my taste, not to my cup of tea. I enjoyed the last Wembley show that they did, the one with Danielson and Swerve. That was really good. But there wasn't anything on this card that I thought was must see. And from what I've heard about results, I think I made the right choice. Yeah. Because I've got to be judicious about where I'm spending my money and going up to London. I don't particularly like going to London. It's a show that I don't think has particularly big implications for a New Japan watcher.
No.
I mean, I suppose it would behoove us to sort of touch base and talk about the relationship and this sort of IP of Forbidden Door, because I just don't really have any strong opinions about it, because it's an AEW show.
Right.
It's got the New Japan brand on it, but like, who cares? I mean, it's Tony Khan's show, so it's totally up to him who he books on it. So I'm not up in arms about the lack of New Japan representation on it. It's pretty much what I expected. It reflects the New Japan wrestlers that the casual Western fan are interested in, which just happens to be wrestlers who were popular during the 2017, 2018, 2019. So I can't, I that's perfectly justified. It's an AEW show, and given how cold New Japan has been recently, I think it's the correct decision to not try and put all the current New Japan guys on Forbidden Door, because if they'd done that, then dare I say they probably may not have sold as many tickets. Now, I know that it was pretty much a sellout before they'd announced anything, so I'm probably talking out of my arse here, but like, Tony Khan doesn't have a responsibility to promote New Japan talent and help get them over. It would be nice if he did. Right. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be complaining if he's like, right, I want showcase feature spots for Tsuji and Uemura and Oiwa. I'd be like, cool, definitely. But it's not his job to do that. And right now, I'm just in the frame of mind where I think New Japan needs to get its own house in order before I even start to formulate an opinion about what Tony Khan is doing with New Japan talent on what is, we all know it, it's an AEW show with AEW storylines, and the AEW is more popular than New Japan. It's going to sell more tickets. The AEW wrestlers and storylines are more popular. So I don't have any issues with how the show was booked.
You know what? You made a really good point in the sense of, I don't want, Yota Tsuji. I don't want to, Ren Narita. I don't want to, go down the list. Like, to me, if you want to use guys who are on their last legs and, retirement tours and guys who haven't wrestled in New Japan in fucking ages, knock yourself out, Tony Khan. Knock yourself out. Because truth be told, I'd rather that happen in a bubble and leave the real New Japan Pro Wrestling, current modern day, like, don't even touch it. And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't I read somewhere or see somewhere Tony Khan originally had the opportunity for Tsuji, but he turned it down, saying something along the lines of he wasn't a big enough name, and then they gave a match to Ospreay or something. I don't know. I don't know where
it goes. Yeah, so I've got it here. So this is from Wrestling Observer. Khan said he was looking at using Tsuji for Forbidden Door this year, but he wasn't available for TV or the pay-per-view. He then said last summer he considered Tsuji as a world title challenger to Swerve Strickland, but was essentially talked out of it due to him not being as established as a real challenger. That's how Ospreay got himself into the mix instead, as he pitched himself a challenger. So I'm just curious who talked him out of it. Like, I'm not complaining, and like, oh well, why did they not book Tsuji? And like, he wasn't a big star back then, so again, I can't really complain about that. What I'm interested about is why Tsuji is not available this year. I think that's pretty beast. I think my headcanon is he was like, fuck that noise, I'm not doing Forbidden Door, I'm gonna go and hang out with my mates in Mexico.
He's hurt, quote unquote, Joel, remember.
Oh yeah, the terrible shoot concussion that he got from the Bad Luck Fall, where he was also able to wrestle 24 hours later.
Right. So, I'm not medically cleared, maybe, to participate. So, yeah. Again, if you want to use, and I think I'm throwing out Hiroshi Tanahashi as an example, but I think it's a little bit different, being that, okay, they're billing it as his last UK match, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. But, you got fucking Kota Ibushi, you got Bucks, you got, in one of the matches, correct me, there's like a six-man championship where friggin' Shibata is one of the champions. And, yeah. The only thing that show was missing was fucking Tomohiro Ishii, let's be honest. It would have been Chef Kiss Tony Khan extraordinaire show. I'd rather that. And here's the thing. That's what the people want. Let's be truthful. That crowd wanted those people on that show. No doubt. No fucking.
They don't want no fucking New Japan. They don't want Ren Narita. No. They don't want evil on their show.
Do you think they want fucking evil? Do you think they want fucking, go down.
While we're on this, I forgot to ask you about this. Like you remember last time there was those comments leaked saying Tony Khan, doesn't like evil. Yeah. And no influence on that. Do you think that is pretty bad to leak that, to have those comments attributed to you about your partner promotion, essentially burying one of their top stars?
Well, you know, Tony Khan writes the checks, so okay. And it seems like at every opportunity, we're ready to fucking bend over and spread our cheeks. And we have commentators who, you know, again, admittedly, we have, well, if you asked them, will have said, yeah, I probably got a little out of control, but okay, I'm, you know, just doing fucking what I thought was right for the moment and blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'll get suspended for a month. Okay. All right. You know,
you know that, like, evil would have seen those comments and been like, what the fuck?
What
just,
I do?
Right. Doing my job, man.
Right.
Why do you say fuck me?
Right. Right. Oh, I'm just playing a role, Tony. You know this, right? I'm not really evil. I'm a nice guy. Yeah. Yeah. Look, Tony Khan's a fucking weirdo. Let's be very clear. He's just a weird dude. I've never met him, so I'm saying that just on the body of evidence that is out there. I don't know. He's just a fucking weird dude. Things happen. And you know what? And maybe some of those comments were taken out of context. Who whatever. Tony Khan doesn't like evil. Whatever. I don't like fucking Billy Gunn. Right? It's like, to me, you know what I mean? It's the same fucking equivalent.
Gun catching strays. Oh, my God. Billy, if you're listening, I like you.
No, I really don't. But that's okay. You know, different strokes, different folks. That's what the kids say. They don't say that.
There's another thread I'm going to put on. Walker Stewart.
What about him?
Appeared on the show to do... He did a guest commentary in some of the New Japan adjacent matches, if I'm not mistaken. How much longer have we got Walker for? Because he's going there, isn't he? Like, it seems inevitable to me.
I mean, probably not long. And that's not me talking with him and saying, "Hey, how much longer you got?" But if you do the math, it is, you know. Look, I'm sure there were times that dude had a calendar in his bedroom. And it was just like, it was like a jail cell crossing off the fucking blocks until this fucking deal ends. Because, you know, it hasn't been the smoothest ride for the poor guy. He's had a lot of obstacles and a lot of, and he's had criticism, and some of it has been justified. But I think he's done an outstanding job. And again, we fail to remember a lot. He's in his early 20s, right? And in the grand scheme of things, he's a fucking kid, right?
And he's already better than the entire AEW commentary.
No doubt. Yep. No doubt. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying this like saying, hey, here's your ticket, there's the door, and I kick him in the ass. But it is like, okay, the dude lives in, where does he live, Oklahoma? He still lives in Oklahoma? That's got to be a fucking pain in the ass. I'm sorry. Like, the novelty of going to Japan and working Japan and all that stuff, I think that wore out relatively quick. Relatively quick. You don't have to do that flight. You don't have to fucking... And again, it's not like he's flying first class, people. You know, the dude's fucking squeezing into coach. And then when he gets to the fucking building, they stick him in the goddamn rafters to commentating. Poor guy. And he had to put up with that fucking summer. Holy shit. Oh, his fucking undercarriage had to be just dripping. that's a sad, disgusting. Damon, please. Yes. But again, to answer your question, it is just a question of time. I truly believe that. And that, again, is not a knock on Walker Stewart. That is,
it's not a value judgment.
Foreign
people, by and large, don't really want to work for New Japan. It's not the best place to work.
No. And,
you know, the more the reputation starts going down the shitter with the crap booking and, you know, the mismanagement of the company and
pay.
You know, we know that. Yeah, the pay. why the fuck would any of these guys want to work for New Japan for a sustained
period? You know,
like,
why?
We know our place in the ecosystem. Like, we get it. We know this is a stepping stone, and like, that's okay.
Because if you talk to anyone, any independent pro wrestler right now, they would cut off their left nut to fucking work in a somewhat regularly spot in New Japan Pro Wrestling. They would, and that's kind of the thing that New Japan does, is that they maybe unknowingly, maybe knowingly, who knows, but all of those independent pro wrestlers, they have the tapes. Let me rewind a little bit. Back in the day, they had the tapes. Now they just watch it on fucking wherever, YouTube or whatever. But you get my point, right? They're like, there is a feeder system of territorial marks. And I can't believe I used the term mark, but there certainly are. And the idea of getting that paycheck from New Japan Pro Wrestling Limited or Bushiroad, wherever fucking it says on the check, is a wonderful thing. And it's kind of like a checkbox moment for a lot of pro wrestlers. And they know that. And they'll work for cheap. Dude, I knew people from the States who worked. Well, I mean, why am I dancing around? It was fucking Trent Acid. When Trent went over to Japan for the first couple of times, that dude was, I think he was working CZW tours, or don't hold me to it. But he was paying his own way. Like, it wasn't like they were even fronting the fucking plane ticket. So, yeah, there are people that will do that, because and I'll be honest with you, if back in the early 90s, that for some ungodly reason, they were like, yep, give me Twiggy and Madonna Wayne, I would have been like, all right, I'm selling the car and everything else just to fucking work a match in Cork and Hall. Yeah. Yeah. 20s. Absolutely. I would have fucking sold everything and done it. And then come back home with nothing, with about $35 in my pocket. There is that element, and to this day there is that element, and it still is. But whereas before it was, I'm going to go there and make a career, blah blah blah. Now it's, I'm going to go there as a stepping stone so that I can get work under my belt, experience under my belt, et cetera, et cetera. And then when they look at the resume, oh, well, he worked in New Japan. Okay, well, that's good. And, then it gives them a little bit more cred when, they do their, what is it? I don't even know what it's called, WWE tryout thing. But it was, what do they call it? The fucking, what do they call that? What do they call it now? Joel, help me out. No,
I don't fucking know.
It's not the performance center, but don't they have a name for it? Like they're in the crosshairs of WWE developmental. I forget what it's called, but you get my point. All right, fuck it. There you go. There's my rant.
And this is the thing. Like, I know we've sort of cultivated, or I don't know if it's just me, this kind of sort of straw man persona online, where like people think we are blaming Tony Khan for everything that's wrong, and we think New Japan booking is perfect, and AEW are the boogeyman, and we are like gnashing our teeth in rage every time a New Japan guy ends up working for AEW. Like, it's just simply not the case, right? Okay. We know this is how it works, and the current philosophy on where the problems lie in New Japan is summarized by the Discord. It's kill Gedo with hammers, right? We know that there are a lot of self-inflicted flaws, wounds and problems with New Japan Pro Wrestling that have got absolutely nothing to do with AEW, nothing to do with Tony Khan. That's not me saying that I think the Forbidden Door relationship is great and perfect and we're really benefiting from it, but it's just not top of the list of priorities. Like, we've got way more pressing things to worry about. And we know that sooner or later, if people get to a certain level of success in New Japan, particularly the Western guys, they are going to end up getting big money offers from one of the American companies. So let's talk about Gabe Kidd, who was not physically able to compete in the Grade 1 Climax, but was able to throw himself from the top of a cage or a ladder or whatever it was through several tables. So that's interesting. I'm glad he's made a full recovery there.
Yeah, it's amazing what science and technology will do. Science in a check is really, it's amazing. It's amazing how you recover. I mean,
it's quite staggering, isn't it? Like this sort of any percent speed run from being, I'm the savior of Shinnehon to, fuck it. I can't even be bothered to work the G1. I'm going to be twerking for AEW. it's pretty remarkable. Like, again, I'm not saying I'm faulting him because I'll probably do the exact same thing in his position. But it's going to be interesting to see how the reception to Gabe Kidd when he does return to New Japan.
I don't think
the fans are buying that anymore.
You think they kind of feel a little the wool pulled over their eyes? Is that the phrase I'm looking for? Is there a pro wrestler in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling that has fallen from grace as hard as Gabe Kidd? In this quick amount of time, like again, it is still 2025 by my account, and coming off that dome, holy shit! Was there anybody hotter? I take that back. Jay White, remember that post match?
Not even beyond that, the new beginning match with Tsuji. Where we're just like, oh my God, this is the future. The company is saved because of this guy.
Yeah, how about us with egg on our face? The problem, what you said about AEW and Tony Khan is absolutely 1,000% correct. But I will say this, there is that feeling of, oh, the guy with all the fucking money is just waiting to poach. Because again, we've seen it quite a few times now.
And I think there's like also an issue to be raised about whether we should be willingly participating in these little AEW tryouts.
But that's the thing.
Let's face it, that's what they are.
Yep, absolutely correct. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's exactly what they are.
If Tony Khan wants to poach one of someone who's working for New Japan, let's at least make him go to the effort of watching some 2025 New Japan before he makes that decision, rather than just like giving him a little appetizer on his own programming.
Well, I tell you what, if you're the wrestler in that scenario, all you got to do is just wow him for one show. Like if you made a mark, pardon the pun, on a Forbidden Door show. And Tony gets a fucking boner over it, you're getting signed. Like, it's not like you got to put in all this, you got to hand deliver a 6-hour comp tape of your fucking best shit. No, it's all you got to do is impress him once. And I can't say that you're in, but you're in good graces. I'm telling you right now, there is not a New Japan pro wrestler on this current modern day roster that would turn down a plane ticket, mind you, to Bumblefuck USA, wherever they're running the show, to try to impress Tony Khan. Let me repeat that. There is not a wrestler on that roster that would turn that down. That's the reality we live in. So again, Are we sitting here and everything that goes on in New Japan Pro Wrestling and Tony Khan is pulling the strings? No, of course not. That's preposterous. But to sit here and tell you that there is not that air of, well, we've seen it before and it'll happen again. Like that's something that unfortunately we have to get used to. Like that's something that is the reality of the situation. So one, I will say this. I don't think that there's anybody that's really a major threat to be signed aside from like a Gabe Kidd, right? So clean up in-house, clean up the shop. Let's get creative. Let's have some fucking good pro wrestling. Let's get, let's have some fucking cohesive storylines. Let's push young talent and let's get our house in order and then let the chips. Listen, in a year, Tony Khan might not even be a thing. AEW might not even be a thing. You don't know. Pro wrestling's weird. Pro wrestling is fucking weird. Stranger things have happened, right? You wake up one day and this guy is now getting sued, and boy, oh boy, the company's in trouble. Who knows? All I'm saying is this. Enjoy what you got, because you don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the stuff that's been announced for the upcoming Destruction Tour.
Dog shit. Sorry, go ahead.
Big old steamy. No, it's not dog shit. Some of it might be. So I'm just going by televised events, so stuff that's going to be appearing on NJPW World. So we're starting off next Sunday, September 7th, for the Yuji Nagata produce Blue Justice 16. Mm. So Blue Justice 16, we've got... I mean, a big old pile of nothing.
Yeah.
Main event is Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Yuji Nagata. So get into it. Look forward to that. I can just read out the whole card, but it'll be pointless. It'll be wasting everyone's time.
Are you excited? You're not excited for Yuji and Tanahashi locking up? Where's this show being held? Do you know? Is there any idea? Is it like Shinjuku Face?
The Chiba Togane Arena.
Okay. I have no idea what the capacity of that particular arena is, but look.
You don't have to have a take on that. It's fine. Like, we could just move on.
My take is that two guys who are banged up and well past their prime are going to have a solid pro wrestling match for about 10 minutes. Take that for what it's worth.
Then we've got the Shinichi Champion Presents event.
What?
I don't know what this is. In Korakuen Hall, Friday, September the 12th. There's only one match announced for this called Generation Crash. And it's Taguchi, Taichi, Ishii, and Zack against Fujita, Oiwa, Uemura, and Shota. Which I'm kind of into that. Just kind of a random mission statement. I'm sure the youths are going to be staring at the lights there.
Taguchi. Taichi.
Hitting Yuya with a
what the fuck?
With a flying bomb and doing a roll up. Yuya's going, ah, damn, he got me.
Oh, fucking Taguchi. I'll tell you. Good for him. Funky weapon.
Then we're going to, so we're staying at Korakuen Hall. So Saturday, September 13th, we're on the Road to Destruction. Mm. And some of the notable matches from that. The main event is the Never Openweight Six-Man Championship match with the champions. Who are the champions, Damon?
Oh, you son of a bitch. I knew you were going to do that. All right, Never Six-Man. No, I can do it. It's House of Torture, isn't it?
No, it's not.
God damn it. All right, let me give it another guess. Is it...
You can name three wrestlers. And if you get one of them right, I'll be impressed.
Really? Holy fuck. Who are the Never Six-Man Tag Team Champions? I'm doing this without Googling. I'm trying to be honest Abe here. Let me think. House of Torture. Okay. All right. I'm really embarrassed. I have no fucking clue.
Just name a wrestler. Just name a New Japan wrestler.
Clark Connors.
Does he still work for New Japan?
Oh, maybe not. Danhausen? No.
Let's narrow the pool a bit. Japanese. Right. All three of these are Japanese men.
Okay. All right. That is helpful. It is not House of Torture. Didn't they just they lost these titles to this team? Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. That's where I'm. That's where my disconnect is. Oh, my Lord. Yano is not in this mix, right?
Yes, Yano's one of them.
Correct. Oh, is it really? Are you fucking kidding me? All right.
No.
So it's Yano. Ishii?
No. Oh, good try. One more. You get to name one more wrestler.
One more. All right. So Yano. Wow. Kushida.
No, it's Yano, Yo, and Watto.
Oh my God. I'm telling you flat out. Obviously, I have no recollection of this happening. You could be lying right now and I wouldn't know the difference. Holy fucking shit. When was that title change? Can you help me with that one?
So it was an epic 60-minute Iron Man match between the two. And it wasn't televised. It's like one of these sort of holy grail sort of white whale matches. Like, everyone's been asking to see the tape. Apparently, it was like the people that were there live said it was the most incredible mind-blowing match they'd ever seen. So, yeah, we just don't know.
It's a new Tom McGee tape. All right. Well, that's news to me. The guy who's done a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast for how long now? I had no fucking recollection of that. Okay. All right, so
well, this is a title bit defense. For the podcast, like, who are the never six-man champions is what we do. It so really they're is. Defending against Taguchi, Despy, and Tanahashi.
Fuck me. Really? Come on. All right. That is funny. You know what? It is funny. I don't care. That, the best part was your sigh of and giggle. Sigh and giggle. That's exactly what this match is. Sigh and giggle. Fuck me. All right. Fuck everyone. All right.
Fuck everyone. And fuck you for listening to this.
Yeah.
so then the next televised show after that is NJPW Battle Line Hokkaido.
Oh.
Road to Destruction in the Nippon Engineering College Hokkaido College Gymnasium Arena. Mm-hmm. My favorite arena. Mm-hmm. We bring back the Noboribetsu Rambo, Damon. We're excited about that. We have got Gay Kids back in town. Harry, we're looking forward to that. We have, again, I'm just going to scroll to the main event of this, yeah, which is Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Kingship. So this is the trio tag singles 2 out of 3 falls.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on anymore. I know what this is. I think this was a series he wanted to have with Yano. I think he's having a series of matches with Yano, God, where there's going to be a trios match, a tag match, and a singles match. So this main event of Battle Line Hokkaido, night one, we've got...
What?
Taguchi.
Where are they? Okay.
Tanahashi against
what?
I can't even read it. It's too silly.
Come on.
It's been a New Japan Show 2025.
It can't be that bad.
It is. It's the three worst wrestlers on the roster. It's Honma, Makabe, and Yano.
Oh my lord. God,
I'm finished.
You love that one. I don't think I've heard you laugh as heartily in months. Holy shit! Oh, well, that is a fucking stinker. Holy mother of God! Good lord, they're actually selling tickets for that, huh? They're not giving them away. Whew. I want to meet the person who fucking is like, sign me up. You get the fucking text message. Hey, Joel, New Japan's in town. Listen to this fucking main event. We got to get tickets. You know what I mean? Like, who's doing that? Wow. That is a fucking barn burner right there. They brought out everybody. I'm going to be truthful.
All the stars are here.
All the stars. The New Japan's brightest stars. I'm so sick of seeing Hiroshi Tanahashi. I swear to God. I cannot wait for that motherfucker to retire.
I cannot see. I don't understand. Why is this retirement thing not a draw? I can't possibly put my finger on what it is about the I'm trying to, you know, I'm not an economist or anything. I don't know anything about sort of supply and demand and market economics and sort of scarcity and demand and things like that. But what could it be possibly be about Hiroshi Tanahashi having shit matches on every single show's main event that is not selling tickets? Yeah. I don't understand.
It is pretty fun. It is pretty mental. But the idea, I get it on paper. Hey, this is the last time. But yeah, you couldn't put them in. And here's the thing. I'm sure it is a case of, you know what, you're on the way out. You've done a lot for this company. You can do whatever the fuck you want on the way out. I get to wrestle every one of my friends multiple times. Whatever. Look, I get nostalgia. Trust me, I've been living it for fucking 2 months now. I get nostalgia. Oh boy, there's only so far I can take it. It really is only so much you can fucking drain a damp sponge. It's really, I can't wait. I cannot wait for Hiroshi Tanahashi to retire. Cannot fucking wait.
Deliver us to the promised land, El Presidente. Yeah. Right, the next televised show after that will be Wednesday, September 24th. This is NJPW Battleline Hokkaido, Road to Destruction Hokkaido in the Kitagas Arena, Sapporo 46. Mm. And the two headline matches for this are the IWGP Junior Tag Championship match, where the champions Doki and Sho are defending against Kosei Fujita and Robbie Eagles. And the main event is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match with El Desperado defending his title against Yo.
It's not bad. I mean,
not bad.
Yeah, I mean,
at
I think
least Hiroshi Tanahashi isn't in either of those
exactly
matches.
So. It's Hiroshi Tanahashi versus fucking the original Tiger Mask, Sayama. We're gonna clear him out. Yeah, this the tag match will be good, and even the singles match will be good. Despy always is good. Yo, again, you could take or leave, whatever. But I think it'll be good. All right. That's not bad. That's worth watching. That's worth tuning in.
And the big show is Destruction in Kobe, Kobe World Memorial Hall, Sunday, September 28th, where we have got first match, Yoshihashi, Yuya Uemura, Shota Umino against Dick Togo, Sanada, and Evil. Second match, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Final Road Connection, Tanahashi versus Great Okan. Third match, Never Open Weight Championship match. Bolton Oleg against Don Farley.
Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus fucking Christ.
What the fuck?
Who wanted this? Who signed up for this? Who thought this was a good idea? Who? Holy fuck. I mean, look, I think we all can agree that this will be a ton of smoke and mirrors. Like, the term smoke and mirrors, they're going to have a picture of this fucking match in the dictionary alongside with it. It is. You know what? There is a part of me that wants to see this. Like, I kind of want to see what train wreck is in front of us. And I would love to see. You know what this whole match revolves around? Is if we can get the big guy off the ground and, you know, suplex or some fucking.
Oh, I'm so sick of that. Everyone does it.
I know. But that's
not
what this match is.
Anymore.
I know. That's what this match is. That let's be honest. That's what this match is. And hopefully.
Actually, you know, I wish the domestic fans would stop reacting to that. I blame them for this because if during the G1, when David Finlay, I think he was the last person to do it, when he suplexed Farley, I wish the crowd had just stayed absolutely silent because right. Then they probably wouldn't have put this match.
Okay. And now, again, I'll throw at you. Who, aside from good old Donnie Folly, Don Folly, Christ. I cannot believe I'm saying those words. Who's
Don Folly's fucking Folly. It's 2025, Damon.
I know.
Not Folly challenging for a singles title.
Yeah. Yeah. Again.
And we're wondering why company's in the shitter.
Again, lots of smoke and mirrors, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. Watch me try and spin this one, pal. Name me another monster in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oscar.
Okay. There's one.
All right, well, there's that. Then we're done.
You proved Hartley me wrong. Jackson. Hartley Jackson should get all the book in that final.
How does fucking Folly find a spot in here? The guy takes off. He just,
the tenure thing. Like, he's worked for the loyalty, and he's worked for them a long time.
And, right, so okay. Can we pump the brakes on the fucking loyalty thing? Like, how long? Like,
yeah, too much loyalty. Let's have a bit of disloyalty.
Right. If I say it. Right. Please stop being loyal. Stop being loyal.
Look at all the disloyal people over in AEW lining their pockets and being superstars and these big packed sellout shows in front of rabid fans.
Yeah. What has Don Fale done to earn all this fucking gifts of opportunity? Like, this loyal, like, what has he done? He was a big man, and at one point he was somewhat believable and had decent, passable matches. And again, he played the role very well and blah, 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 blah. But how long ago was that? And how much of a run was that?
You know what I think?
Because he was in a dojo?
My conspiracy theory. I think he has given the impression that he had an offer from WWE. Or maybe he did have an offer from WWE. Or at least a phone call, an inquiry. And he's leveraged that for absolute maximum utility and been like, well, you know, I had WWE on the phone. They wanted me, but, you know, I'm going to stick with you guys. Please, can I have a push? Let me come on this tour and challenge for singles title.
I mean, that's probably the most logical explanation, because if you tell me, like, oh, look at all the work he's done in Australia and New Zealand promoting show. What?
He single-handedly just killed the entire scene.
I mean, it must be that money that he's funneling into New Japan Pro. What? There's none? Okay. Yeah, like, what?
The pipeline of talent that we're getting, all these hot young studs coming over from Oceania.
Yeah.
Doing the business over here from that, the Lions Pride dojo thing, the family dojo.
Yeah. Yeah, that pipeline that's been opened up. Get up the street. Wow. I'll tell you what. I can name fucking 100 people that I wish New Japan Pro Wrestling was a little bit more loyal to, as opposed to good old Donnie Folly. Don Folly. Go the fuck up the street. Jesus Christ. This promotion sometimes baffles me. This whole fucking 55 minutes has been nothing but baffling to me. But okay, let's go on.
All right. Fourth match, IWGP Tag Championship. Oh, yeah. Almori says, what happened to the caveman guy? One of the few guys who actually came over and was impressive. Caveman Ugg. Can't find him with a fucking search party.
Thank you. Hey, remember, what was his name? Beer City Brawler? Remember those shows? The Ring of Honor shows?
Yeah. He had a really good match with Goto.
He did. He absolutely did. I liked him. All right. What else we got on this nonsense show?
Okay. Yeah, fourth match, IWGP Tag Championship match. The champions, Taichi and Ishii, defending against the challengers, Oscar and Yuto Ice. Okay. Fifth match, special singles match, Hiromu Takahashi versus Taiji Ishimori. Sixth match, another special singles match, Yota Tsuji against David Finlay. Seventh match.
Can we pause for 1 second? I'm sorry.
I will not pause.
Please pause. What's so special about either of those two matches? Like, it's the 100th match that we've seen between these two?
My understanding, I think special singles match just means that it's not a 20-minute time limit. I don't know. I don't know what special singles match means. Because the second match is a 30-minute time. I don't know. I don't know what special singles match means. I thought it was something to do with the time limit, but I have no fucking idea. What that match is, Tsuji versus Finlay, I'm assuming the winner of that is going to be coming out to challenge someone for something later on in the show.
I mean, special? All right, continue on. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off.
Are you still there, Damon? Because you sound like you're very, very far away.
So this thing is happening recently where my phone will take over my laptop for some fucking ungodly
reason. Okay.
So I got to find my phone. that's
okay, all right, okay, fine. I thought something had actually something bad had happened, but you have left the vicinity and you're looking for something. Right. So don't worry, listener. I will hold down the fort, keep you entertained while.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm just still laughing at that six man.
You really love that, don't you?
I do. I love that match. So, seventh match, IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match. Shingo Takagi challenging the IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion, who is, Damon?
That would be the great Gabe Kidd.
He's back. The prodigal son returns.
Yes.
Shingo certainly has some words for him. And main event of that show is IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. So he managed to escape with his title against Nigel Guinness. It will be Zack Sabre Jr. defending against Ren Narita. And that is your full card for Destruction in Kobe.
Well, those New Japan Pro Wrestling main events aren't what they used to be, are they? Here's the thing. This is the defense that Zach can do to kind of, you know, get a win over a guy that everybody wants to see him beat. And then, again.
Sure? Give me percentage.
Oh, I would say 250%. How about that?
Because we're in an era now where there are possibilities of things happening.
Oh, yeah.
Where classically, historically, you would have said, well, that's stupid. Like, there's no way they're going to do that. So this outcome is definitely happening. I think we've moved out of that era of sort of logic and precedent. No stupid ideas are off the table here. Mm. I think anything goes, honestly. I would not shock me. Or like, every time I've applied logic to a scenario, we're like, well, surely this is going to happen because the other outcome is ridiculous. That other ridiculous outcome has often happened. And I think my sort of canary down the mine moment was Evil beating Yota Tsuji in the semi-final of the G1 Climax. So if that happened, why not Ren Narita as IWGP World Heavyweight Champion?
Why not? Because it's not like anything else feels like it matters in any way, shape, or form. I'm saying this out loud, just I'm putting it out in the universe for it to happen, but I just can't imagine it happening. So you're saying Ren wins and then like Tsuji challenges? Because doesn't Zach have a...
Well, no. There is a King of Pro Wrestling.
Right.
Konosuke Takeshita will be facing the winner of this match.
So that's where they're going to do the title change. So he's going into the dome as champion.
Well, yeah, that will be the next conversation, wouldn't it? They're doing it again.
Oh, God damn it. Joel, I know we're in a crazy world right now. I know cats are dogs and dogs are cats. And we have, it seems like everyone is feeling stressed and worried about the state of the world with wars and famine and all of it. There's no fucking way that fucking Ren Narita is winning the title, right? Because if there is, and again, I think we all can assume, oh boy, that it would be a short reign. Joel, if Ren Narita wins that fucking title, this company is just not for me at this point. I don't think it's for you either.
Well, at least it would be elevating one of their homegrown...
Good point.
...talent. I give it that.
Good point.
I haven't completely dismissed the idea.
Literally, the last guy on the list.
Like, you know what? Let him cook.
Yeah?
Give me a percentage. I said 250%. No way. But you're telling me, what are you feeling? What's in your gut?
No, I mean, I think Zach is winning.
Okay.
I would give Ren a 5% chance, but I cannot dismiss it outright. And Amorin in the chat says he's bringing up Wrestle Dream, and that's where Tony would want to get the title. You're going to have to elaborate on that because I'm not...
With Takeshita?
I'm not really... Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, let's talk about that then. So Takeshita is going to challenge, presumably, Zack Sabre Jr. at King of Pro Wrestling.
Right.
What do you think of it? Because this would be the second year in a row where the G1 Climax winner has called their shot at King of Pro Wrestling, won the title then, and gone into Wrestle Kingdom as both the G1 Climax winner and the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Right, yeah, okay, you said you hate it. The floor is yours, Damon.
Hate it. It devalues the win. Like, it doesn't devalue the win because you still get the title shot, but... Like, what is this? What? You have 6 months. Like, wouldn't you rather have the build of 6 months? And I will admit that this company does a somewhat flaky job of building. And we've seen it when New Japan was at its peak, you know, at least. They don't do a great job of building up these main events. I would say on a scale of, you know, I would give them like a B minus, sometimes even worse, but okay. But theoretically, you have 6 months to build a fucking main event, get heat on whoever you got to get heat on. Are they trying to make King of Pro Wrestling more of a marquee event by doing this? I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know why. That's the only logical thing I can come up with is that they're trying to fucking spread the butter thin and make King of Pro Wrestling more important than what it is.
Yeah, that was my sort of Occam's razor explanation. They're just trying to pop a bigger gate for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's, to me, that screams a little bit of desperation. That screams a little bit of, let's try and squeeze every fucking penny we can out of the people buying tickets. And because in a healthy environment, wouldn't you think that the idea of that G1 winner being like, if you're a healthy company, you don't need necessarily to do all that. So this title is going to change hands again. It feels like this title is a hot potato. It's not that our world title is not special anymore. It's lost its fucking oomph. I really don't like it. I'm telling you flat out, I don't like it. And so when is this Wrestle fucking Dynasty fucking thing? When is that show? Do we know?
King of Pro Wrestling is the 13th of October.
Uh-huh.
And Wrestle Dream is the 18th of October.
Mm-hmm.
So the suggestion there from Amorin in the chat being that,
yeah,
Tony might like to have Konosuke Takeshita,
yeah,
going into that show as IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, where I don't know, there's been some talk about him facing Okada. I don't know if that's something they're building to, or like Takeshita being in the C2. Is that what their G1 equivalent competition is? I don't know. I don't know enough about AEW programming to be able to answer this confidently, but I think that's the implication, that then Takeshita goes into Wrestle Dream as the IWGP champion. But Tony can't give a shit about that. Well, he doesn't value the IWGP heavyweight championship. Fucking had like Sander versus Jack Perry as the third match on with that title a couple of years ago. I can't imagine he's like, oh, I'm desperate to get my hands on that belt. That's going to be a massive draw.
Right.
I don't doubt he cares, really.
Right.
But I mean, back to the original point, like I think the problem is what they did last year has made me nervous about their ability to establish a credible challenger, because they did that, Zach winning the G1 and beating Naito for the title. and then Shota Umino just coming out as this absolute lame duck challenger.
Yeah.
Where he really would have... so I'm already saying he wants to pose with Inoki's descendants with a belt. Shota really, like he, Shota had like a losing record in the G1 and had just this really tenuous claim to being in that Wrestle Kingdom main event. And he just looked like a loser. And he really would have benefited from having the traditional classic build-up of the Wrestle Kingdom challenger by winning the G1 to give him that credibility. And like, I know there's the issues inherent in doing that, having the Wrestle Kingdom main event title challenge being linked to the G1 in that everything is a little bit predictable for the rest of the year, for Destruction, King of Pro Wrestling, Power Struggle, whatever it is. But I don't think that what they've come up with as an alternative is better. Now, that's not to say that they cannot establish a credible challenger for Wrestle Kingdom without the G1. They should be able to do that, but I don't trust them to do that.
Yeah.
Right? There should be plenty of time. From October, you got 3 months then to establish someone as a credible threat, to assuming it's Takeshita, and build up momentum and make them seem, you know, have some sort of modicum of star power. They should be able to do that in 3 months, but I don't believe that they can. And I'm just scared what they're going to do. I'm scared that it's going to be Shota again, because Shota has wins over Takeshita and Zach in the G1. Maybe it's Yota Tsuji. And again, is it going to be like, oh, he's beaten David Finlay and beat someone else, so he comes out and says, oh, you know, I'm the guy now. Like, if you're going to do that, why not just have him win the G1 and get the title onto Takeshita some other way? I don't know. Like, maybe it's going to be Hiroki Goto. Like, I could see the logic behind that. I just don't know what to think anymore, David. This is just like confused nonsense to me.
It seems like it's the fucking winding road path to get to where they need to go, and they don't have to do it. They're doing too much. It doesn't have to be this fucking hot potato on the belt. Like, just, he won G1. Challenge at the fucking dome. Away we go. Because I got news for you. I don't give a shit what they do. It's not going to matter. It doesn't fucking matter. I can't sit here and tell you that any of these scenarios that we map out is going to be something where, holy shit, well, that's going to pop a house. Like, this show, it's all, I'm already resigned to the fact that this show is, when I talk about this show, I'm talking about Wrestle Kingdom. This is on the back of Hiroshi Tanahashi's last match and Aaron Wolf. And the title match, I don't care if it's Ren Narita in there. I don't care if it's Zach in there. I don't care if it's Takeshita in there. I don't care. Like, give me the fucking roadmap for this main event that makes me give a single solitary fuck. I can't sit here because I'm a beaten and battered man to come up with some fucking wacky scenario that they're not going to do, that at least would excite us, but they're not going to do. The problem is this. One, they are in this mode of, again, the longest fucking possible path to get to a point where, okay, that was the destination all along. And two, there's really nothing that they're doing or anything that they're doing that gives me any confidence that they can turn people into fucking stars so that this main event is juicy. Like, I have no faith. And I think that's the worst thing that's going on right now. I don't have fucking faith in them to say, okay, no matter what path they choose, I'm in for the ride. Because they've fucked up so many times that like we're at the point where
they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Oh no, we're past that point. I've given them so much rope, Joel. What am I going to? There's no more rope to give. The most depressing part of it.
Do you think it's the?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear
the most depressing part of it is.
No, I want the depressing.
I don't have faith. I don't have faith.
Yeah, it's gone. I was going to ask you, what do you think Takeshita wins at Wrestle Kingdom? Do you think like we're going all in on this guy? Because otherwise, do you think that would be a bit shit if he just wins the title in October and then loses it in January? Like at that point, you'd be like, well, why
right.
go to all the effort of having him win the G1 as well? Like I'm getting scared about this Takeshita thing, because like when it was first thrown out there, the possibility of Takeshita working with New Japan and getting a contract, I was just like, fucking yes, this is like book him like Okada, this is going to solve everything. But now I've seen the way that he's been presented and the discrepancy between the way they present him as a babyface and how the fans are taking to him, and the fans, like, there's tension there, right? There's a lot of fans who are, a significant amount of fans who don't want him to be the top guy and don't like that. He's not a draw, even in his hometown of Osaka. Those shows where he was main eventing the G1, crap numbers. And I'm not putting that blame squarely on him, but if this is a guy that is worth investing in, that has made me think, oh, you know, what is this a good idea? Plus, with the whole AEW New Japan relationship being what it is, what is to stop him just, you know, winning that belt, winning the G1, da da da, and then just like, right, I'm going back to AEW. And then what did we do all this for? So I'm starting to get very concerned about where we're going with this Takeshita thing.
He's the best wrestler they have.
Is he though? Right? Is he significantly better than what New Japan's already got? Because in the G1, he didn't have. I know he's pacing himself, but was he really delivering far and away above what New Japan have already got?
Okay, no, but then I raised the question of why should he? Why? He's this split performer who realizes that, okay, this is probably like night six in fucking like these. Here's another thing that we have to get into our heads. Those days are over. Those days of night six having two fucking matches that knock your pants off, like, well, that hasn't happened in years. Hasn't happened in years. I am truly in the camp of he is a stud. He is young. He has the world ahead of him. And if there was a commitment on both ends, he absolutely would be my world champion. The problem is that we have all this ancillary stuff that's going on, and that raises doubts in people's minds. And these people who have been burnt before, and they feel like, well, we're going to get burnt again. So why would I emotionally invest my time, energy, patience, fandom, whatever the fuck you want to throw in the mix, on a guy that feels like is on thin ice to begin with? They could make any one of those young guys, and again, we say young guys, they're not young, but you know who I'm talking about. They could make any one of them a star tomorrow. And we've been saying that for 3 years. It hasn't happened yet. I don't know if it's a trust thing. I don't know if we're waiting to the right fucking moment. Who knows? The problem is that the best guy that they have is a guy that they can't trust, because of all the fucking circumstances that surround him, and the fans aren't ready to fucking, again, I say the fans, some vocal fans aren't ready to invest in a guy that they don't feel 100% confident is in for New Japan Pro Wrestling and for the benefit of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So there's that doubt, but he's head and shoulders above anybody else on that roster. He really is. And I think if you had a company that decided to say, okay, it's this guy and this guy, and these are the two guys that are going to lead us for the next 3 years, they could do that, New Japan, but they haven't. And again, I think it's for the myriad of reasons that we talked about, including they don't feel comfortable with any of the homegrown talent to be on the level of where they would love to have Takeshita, but they can't sit there and say, okay, let's do that, because they're scaredy pants.
Right. So It sounds like you're agreeing with me.
Well, yeah, I'm agreeing with you, but also I'm saying, so where do we go? Like, are we in limbo for six fucking months, where we're just fucking trading the titles between people just to get from point A to point B to point C? And again, I don't think Tony Khan has anything to do with it. While he might like the idea of having his guy come back as IWGP Heavyweight Champion, that's not a deciding factor in this. I find it very difficult to believe. That being said, the New Japan Pro Wrestling itself is in a quandary, because they have people they don't trust to take the next step, and they also have a guy that they would love to be the guy, but they are scaredy pants to fucking commit 100% to the guy.
They look pretty committed to me. I mean, he's won the G1 as an outsider. He's going to be winning the belt in October and going into Wrestle Kingdom main event
and losing. Champion. That's,
you think so? Because I can't remember who it was, but someone suggested the possibility of Hiroki Goto being the challenger for Wrestle Kingdom and doing Takeshita beating Goto in the main event at Tokyo Dome.
With all due respect, that's not a New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom main event. Hiroki Goto? Honestly.
Who is? Who do you think is? Okay, we're giving you the book. Who's challenging Takeshita?
Yota Tsuji.
Okay.
That's what it was.
And winning.
I mean, look, Takeshita is, if things felt different, he is my guy, and he's been my guy from the jump. He would be the guy that would lead my company. The problem is that for a guy to lead the company, he has to be in the company, and he can't be fucking walking around DDT and wherever the fuck else. Like, he needs to be the guy. And if people don't feel comfortable with him being the guy, then who's next? Well, to me, that's Tsuji, right? Unless they do some miraculous thing and they build somebody up to the point where it's like, okay, now we have something. But who's that guy? Tsuji's it. And again, I thought that that would be G1 finals. Look, Zach beats Narita. Right? Let's just get that out of the way. Right? So Zach is now defending against Takeshita. Does Takeshita have to be the fucking champion going into Wrestle Kingdom? He probably does, right? He can't lose that match. So now it's him against who's the next guy in line? Tsuji, right? Like, that's got to be it. But
but why not do it as Tsuji going into that as the G1 winner? That'd be so much.
That's
better.
What I'm saying. Well, again, maybe that was the whole idea, but
you know,
he gets hurt, and, oh, you know.
Oh yeah, no, of course his brain got scrambled.
Right, but that's my point, though. It's like, why would they do?
Are we wasting our time trying to make sense of this?
In the grand scheme of things, yes.
It's a waste of time, isn't it? There was no... We could, like, a year ago, we could have been sitting and discussing all the possibilities for 10 hours coming out of last year's G1, where Zach had won the belt and called a shot for King of Pro Wrestling. And never in a million years would we have arrived at the logical conclusion that Shota Umino, with his losing record, was going to be the Wrestle Kingdom main event challenger. So, like, logic is off the table at this point.
It is.
That's what I worry about. And I know it doesn't make for a very interesting podcast if it's just me throwing my hands up saying, I don't know what's going to go on because this company doesn't make sense anymore. But that's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
Right. But keep in mind, Joel, it could be worse. Like, we could have a similar scenario to what we had last year. Let me ask you this. Winner of King of Pro, what if Shota shows up? What if Shooter shows
he
up?
He might, like I told you, he's got wins over Zach and Takeshita in the G1.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's not out of the question, is it? Like, we could be, like, all this fucking whining that we're doing, or at least I'm doing anyway, it could all be for naught. And guess what? It could be much worse. It could be much worse. It could be much worse. That's the problem. I don't have confidence in this booking committee. I don't have confidence in leadership. We are a rudderless ship, it feels like. And if there is somebody that's paddling the fucking boat, Joel, they're drunk. Because we don't... okay, would you be more disappointed if I told you New Japan Pro Wrestling really doesn't have a fucking clue? They're not comfortable with anyone, blah, blah, blah. Or, nope, this is the exact pattern that they wanted to do. Which one would you be happier with? Like, if this is the exact pattern that they wanted to do, I'm incredibly disappointed. If this is just a rudderless ship, well, I'm disappointed, but maybe not as much because at least there's the excuse of, we're just trying to tread water. Like, if this is the direction, this stinks on ice. Stinks. Stinks. And I don't have any confidence. That's the worst part. I know I've said it 1,000 times. I just don't have confidence right now that we can find a way to get to Wrestle Kingdom where we have a meaty main event. I think that they've already resigned to the fact, Joel, that this show is based off of Hiroshi Tanahashi's last match, which will sell tickets if it hasn't already. And when they announce the fucking guy that he's against, hopefully it's a banger. You know, hopefully it's a guy that people get excited for, and Aaron Wolf. And if that's the case, then we are treading water until one guy gets to the point where they feel confident. And imagine that. Just imagine that feeling, Joel, of like the company is what if he doesn't work out? You know what I mean? Look at that. There you go. You got it. First pitch. Joel just sent me a picture of, is that Aaron?
That's Aaron, yeah. Lady Guy Fieri says, is this our man or come get your boy? So he, from what I heard, Yuji Nagata instructed or suggested that Aaron Wolf lose 15 kilograms and put it back on in muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like he started that process yet.
No, it looks like, I mean, maybe it's the picture, Joel. Sometimes, they catch in a bad angle and, things are hanging that aren't supposed to be hanging. We'll see. I think the worst part is that if this company is hanging on for this one dude who hopefully works out, who knows? I mean, they have a lot invested in him. But what if he doesn't work out? Boy, oh, fucking boy. Boy, oh, fucking boy. We can only hope and pray. Hopes and prayers.
Right. I'm sad now. Right, let's do some questions.
All right. That'll cheer you up. I'm sure.
Mo Messers, have you got any feeling for which young lion might be next to go on excursion? Seems the office like Nagai and Murashima quite a bit. Yeah, I'd say those would be the two that I think would go next. I don't know if it would be the sort of traditional extended excursion. I think the Noah excursion for Oiwa was pretty good.
Yeah, it worked out really well, didn't it? Yeah, he's a star now. Has that guy won a singles match? Fuck. I don't know. I always feel like Mexico is the destination. I feel like people find themselves in Mexico, whether it's the food, the culture, the drugs, whatever. They find themselves. I'm going to say have them
ring card girls.
Yep. You ring. Oh, lovely. Oh, there was one I used to follow on.
I know. Yeah. It's your favorite.
Oh, she was just the cat's meow. Yeah, the ring girls are great. But yeah, you usually find yourself down there. So hopefully they'll wind up down there for a little bit.
Daryl says, Will Ospreay was interviewed by New Japan World and the guy looked broken. It sounds like he still misses life in Shinnihon. What did Tony do to our boy? I mean, physically, like, he gave everything to New Japan. He's that kind of guy, isn't he? He would just go all out and try and make everyone look good. I mean, does he really miss life in Shinnihon? I can't imagine why anyone.
I'm sure there's some elements. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's things that he misses that he doesn't see in AEW. But yeah, I think that's like pining over an old girlfriend when you have a hot girlfriend. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know. He's fine. I think. Yeah, I mean, he's fine, but you know, he likes to say good things about New Japan. There's nothing wrong with that, and you can look on those years fondly. He accomplished a lot, and we got him to where he is today.
Midnight Safari says, do you think the House of Torture boycott of Forbidden Door will hasten Evil's rise towards becoming the new babyface ace of NJPW? I mean, I laid it out last week, didn't I? This is the path to glory and babyface glory for Evil, and this is just another brick in that wall, isn't it, of boycotting House of Torture. I mean, if I were writing the script for Evil to do the long, slow burn babyface turn, it will certainly start with Tony Khan leaking information to fight for about not being keen on him and, you know, not having any interest in booking him. Yeah, this is a great start for that.
Well, at least people are giving them information instead of them stealing ours. Oh, that was post. My bad. My apologies, Fightful.
Yano is in the booking committee. What? This is mind-blowing information, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah, who would have known that? What was I going to say? I forget. It doesn't matter. It was bullshit anyway. Yeah.
Burning Hammers, what could be a realistic year for you at Oemura if you're planning his 2025, 2026, including the G1 next year? And what would be the dream scenario? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, man, he's my guy now, Yuya. He's got everything. He ticks all the boxes for me. It would be a winning New Japan Cup and winning the title at Sakura Genesis. Is that realistic? No.
Yeah.
He's going to do the usual cookie-cutter booking pattern of these
small belt
younger guys. Yeah, small belt. Maybe he might make a G1 quarterfinal this year. And yeah, he'll feud with the white belt. Maybe he wins the white belt, but like, Wrestle Kingdom in 2027, if he's lucky, and it will be a long time before he's sniffing heavyweight gold.
I'm going to ask you a question. Could they possibly, given what we saw in G1, would you begin a slow burn babyface Evil turn and have him headline Wrestle Kingdom?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Sorry, someone let the cat out. I've already once had to let the cat back in.
I thought he passed out. The question.
I've had to let him in. Yes, I would. I've said my brain has been so fried by watching this stupid company that I've convinced myself that the slow burn Evil babyface turn to him winning the title at Wrestle Kingdom is the best
idea.
So yes,
wouldn't that be something? For all of everyone's moaning, this is where we are. That the idea of Evil being the savior of New Japan Pro Wrestling in some fucking harebrained, who knows how we get there, but the idea of babyface Evil.
Maybe like he wins it off Gabe Kidd. Gabe Kidd
be like, right.
Taking this fucking title to Tony Khan.
Right. Or even, okay, so let's say Takeshita wins, right? And they build around the threat, and you can throw in Rocky Romero in the mix. You can throw in Don Callis in the mix, whatever. Of, I'm taking this fucking belt and I'm taking it to Tony Khan. And Tony Khan could play a little bit of a heel too, right? And live up to everyone's, you know, wet dreams of hating. New Japan can hate on Tony Khan. Tony Khan and AEW lovers can hate on New Japan Pro Wrestling. And it'd be a little bit of a little something, right? And then the guy that everyone fucking hates in New Japan Pro Wrestling evil, evil is the savior. Evil is the guy that's like, fuck that noise. Fuck that. I'm leaving House of Torture. And the House of Torture is like, well, no, you're, and then, you know, again, he could beat up everybody there. He leaves. We're done with the House of Torture.
Is he reborn as Takaki Watanabe?
I mean, I'm not even saying that. He can still be evil. I don't got a problem with that. You know, bring back the laser pointer. Let's go. He's evil, but he is good guy evil. He is White Knight evil. He is pure and driven. He's Bob Backlund evil. And he defends the honor of New Japan Pro Wrestling. What do you say? What do you say, Yen?
Yeah, let's do it. Definitely. Let's fuck with that. Yeah, don't even decouple him from House of Torture. Have like him coming out with a full gang. Just don't change his presentation at all. And then just have him be like, right, all of you lot, fuck off to the back. I'm doing business by myself tonight. I'm getting shit done. And the crowd would lose their minds.
I think so too, right? I really, I truly, honestly believe he's...
I love it. It's taken a week and now you're on board with my mental idea as well.
Why not? Let's go insane together. We'll hold hands. Yeah. I'm in on that. That's in on that.
So, right. So the official stance, the unified stance of the Super J-Cast is that evil should be the savior of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
That is correct.
Without a shred of irony there.
That is correct. Again, we got to do Takeshita right in the sense of, again, we got to threaten to leave. We're out. We're fucking taking our title. We're going to Tony. Tony can cut a couple promos saying, yep, this is my belt now. Fuck faces. I took everybody from you. Now I took your title. And now here's evil, the fucking savior of, wait a minute. What's going on? Fuck that. And yes, you know what? Keep him in House of Torture. And again, have him be like, nope, I don't need the fucking hijinks. I don't need the interference. I don't need any of it. I'm taking this fucking guy to town. I'm in on it. I am in. Evil, 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 evil.
Right, Manny's shouting with me, so let's end it there. Right. See you next time. Bye.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.